Merry Christmas, everybody. Welcome to church. Welcome to church. We're glad that you're here. Hope you're having a wonderful holiday so far. Grab your Bibles, if you would. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. From there, we're going to the book of Matthew chapter 1. Before we go any farther, I would be remiss if I didn't take a moment to say congratulations to our very own state champion, Longview Lobos. How amazing was that? Heck yes, football, which proves that God loves us. If you're from Beaumont, I'm sorry. God has spoken. I was talking to my staff this past week, and we were so excited because next Sunday, of course, we get the weekend off, and we're encouraging you to spend some time with your family. We got a great video message online for you, but as we were talking back and forth with the staff, we talked about what was our favorite gift that we've ever received. And think a moment just about the best gift, the most favorite thing that you ever received. And generally, we found that between the ages of 6 and 12, there was that one gift that kind of defined and surpassed all other gifts. Do you remember that moment, that one gift that kind of sticks out in your mind? Now, for me, you have to understand, my parents didn't celebrate Christmas. We were raised in a cult. We were raised very poor, which was kind of convenient. And because we didn't celebrate Christmas, I never received very many gifts. But my grandmother one year asked my parents if she could get me a special gift, a cassette player. And of course, my parents said yes. They had a few cassettes. And by the way, if you're a millennial, a cassette is something that you could only rewind with a pencil back in the day. Google it. And so my parents finally said yes. They had a few cassettes that they would allow me to listen to. But what they didn't know was when my grandmother gave me this gift, it wasn't just a cassette player. It had AM and FM radio. Now, AM, FM radio, something that you're also going to have to Google if you've never seen that. But back in the day, it used to be the most amazing thing ever. And so I remember that night, I was so excited and encouraged to go to bed because once that light was off, once my parents went to their room, I snuck those headphones on and I turned to that knob over to AM FM radio and begin to scan channels, and the very first non-parent approved song that I ever heard in my entire life was Eruption by Van Halen. And let me just tell you, if you've never heard Eruption by Van Halen, Google it, check it out, it will blow your mind. I'm coming from a place I'd never heard anything like that before. I'd never heard electric guitar just screaming and making that kind of music. I sat there in my bed with eyes wide open and full of tears. I had tears coming down my face and thinking, Grandma is the most amazing gift giver ever. You know, God is an incredibly generous and good gift giver. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from above. God has wonderful things in store for us. But yet, so many Christians never experience the gifts of God because we're captured and captivated by the voice and the spirit of fear. I want to show you this in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. It talks about what God has not given us and what God has given us. It says this, if you don't have a Bible, don't worry about it. We'll put it on the screen for you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Notice those three things that God's saying, I am giving you power and love and a sound mind. Some of you say, well, I've got two of three of those. But God's a great gift giver. And to counteract the spirit of fear, God says, I'm giving you power. We notice that our power, the Bible says, comes from the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your power source. If you're wondering why you feel weak and tired, I'm going to ask you, have you spent time with embracing the gift and the power of the Holy Spirit? The second thing that God says is he gives us not just his power, but his love. The scripture tells us God himself is love. Lastly, it's the sound mind. I want to talk to you a little bit about that sound mind, which is the gift of Jesus. Without Jesus, we never receive a sound mind. He is our peace. So four times during the Christmas story, an angel appears to different characters and it tells them these words, fear not. Your Bible may say, don't be afraid. And I'm believing that if you'll listen today, that God has a very similar word in store for each of us. Don't be afraid. I wonder what would your life look like if you didn't carry over into 2019 the same fears that held you captive from 2018? What if you weren't afraid of the same things anymore? What if the same things that held you back, that kept you from taking a step of faith, that kept you from being all in with God, all of a sudden were no longer fears, but instead you had power. You experienced God's love. You had a sound mind. What would your life look like? How would it be different? What if next year was all that God ever intended for you? What if it was his best and all it took was stepping outside of the spirit of fear and instead embracing the gift of Jesus? I'll tell you this thing I've learned about fear. There's a couple things. You might want to write these down if you're a note taker. Number one, it gets stronger when you focus on it. Do you remember those times where the very first time, some of you may remember when you were a kid, the very first time you jumped off a high dive? Let me tell you, the longer that you stand on that high dive, it doesn't get easier to jump off. It gets harder. The more that you focus on the water below, the deeper that water gets. Here's the second thing about fear. It doesn't go away when you ignore it. It's not like some dog that'll just sniff you and leave you alone as long as you don't run. No, you can't just close your eyes on that high dive and all of a sudden all your fear goes away. No, because then your imagination takes over as soon as you close your eyes and the fears get worse. Here's something else. It gets worse in front of people. It gets worse in front of people. It's one thing to jump off a high dive if no one was looking. But when everyone is looking, especially that special someone, that little 11-year-old girl that you're hoping to impress, I'm not saying that this is me that I'm talking. Yes, it is. It's absolutely me. I know a thing or two about fear. There's a reason why I'm still afraid of heights. I don't do it. God never meant for us to fly or he'd have given us wings. But, you know, fears get worse in front of people. The Bible deals with this. It calls this the fear of man, the fear of people's opinions. And as we're looking inside the Christmas story, as an angel shows up and appears to Joseph, it tells him, don't be afraid, because Joseph's fears revolved around the fear of public opinion. Turn to Matthew chapter 1, if you would. I want to show this to you. Starting in verse 18, it says this. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, or Jesus, depending upon where you come from. Because it says, he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, that the virgin will conceive, give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. You know, as Joseph had to face his fears, I think there are some common ones that we can find some common ground with Joseph as well during this story. And the first one is this. If you're a note taker, go ahead and write this down. And that's the fear of being embarrassed. Anybody else have that fear, the fear of being embarrassed? You know, statistics say that 90% of people would literally rather die than to do what I'm doing right now, speaking in front of someone else. No one likes public speaking. You would literally choose death over that. Why? Because we have this fear of embarrassment. I had to get over that a long time ago. Fear of embarrassment is a very real thing. And here's Joseph saying, you know, everyone's going to find out. There's a point coming in a few months where she's going to start showing. They're going to assume that I did this and we're not married. That's a big deal in this small town. The fear of what people will think is a faith stealer. It causes a lot of people that were previously on fire for God to shrink back in fear and to never become what God has intended for each of us to become. Fear is a faith stealer. Here's the second fear that Joseph had to deal with, is the fear of being manipulated. And no one likes to be the donkey of the joke. No one likes to be manipulated. No one likes to feel like you're being controlled by someone else for their own selfish gain. I don't like that. Certainly you don't like that. But the Bible says that he had in mind to divorce her quietly. He wanted to try to do the right thing and send her away because, obviously, he didn't believe her story. Well, Joseph, I'm pregnant. Wait a minute. That's not my baby. I'll go on Mari Povich right now. I am not the daddy. He had in mind to divorce her quietly because he didn't believe her. And he's thinking in this moment, she's cheating on me. I trusted her. She's screwing me over. She's manipulating me. You know, no one likes to be lied to, especially when you know that that person's lying to you. It's awkward, so awkward. And I think many people don't follow God because they're afraid if they do, they'll look like a sucker in front of others, like you're being manipulated or you're weak-minded. But the Bible tells us this about God in Numbers 23:19. We have a 23:19. Nobody? Anybody? Numbers 23:19. It says, God is not human that he should lie. He's not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and then not fulfill? Someone needs to hear that word this morning. When God speaks, he means it. And everything that he says, just like it spoke to Mary, no word from God will ever fail. I think for some of us, God is asking us to get over our fears and take a step of faith into this new season of our life. This is at the end of the year. It's a great time to look back at the goodness of God and give you strength and faith for tomorrow and realize, wait a minute, what if I can do more next year? What if I can become all that God has called for me to become? Here's another fear that Joseph had to deal with, and that's the fear of abandonment, the fear of being alone. You see, Joseph was in love and he had this plan. But now everything blows up in his face and he's going to end up all alone. He's going to end up as a joke. He's going to end up embarrassed. And let me tell you, it's always hardest to trust God when life gets tough. And every person is going to walk through dark days. You've had them. I've had them. The person next to you has had them. Those are the moments where it's the hardest to trust God, but it's also the most powerful moments that you'll ever experience. When it gets tough, that's when God gets real. That's when God shows who he really is. I don't regret a lot of those tough times. Those are the times where I found myself face to face with God and it changed my life. You know, statistics say that people are most likely to choose God when they're in one of two places, either transition or pain. But Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, God says this to his servant Joshua. He says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. God is not here to manipulate you and he will not abandon his people. Not ever. So God himself gives us the gift of Jesus and Jesus becomes our gift. He brings peace. That's my message. That's my hope for you this morning is that you would experience the peace that only comes through Jesus. You know, 700 years before Christ was born, God spoke through a man named Isaiah who was a prophet. And Isaiah said, there's going to be a child born. And he's going to be called the Prince of Peace. And when the angels appeared to the shepherds, they told them, don't be afraid. The next words were, there's going to be peace on earth. You know, out of the 800 different scriptures in the Bible that deal with the word peace, I found that those peace scriptures generally get divided into three categories, and they help me to understand why there is not peace on earth. In case you haven't noticed, this has not been a year of a lot of peace. There's always something going on. There's a conflict somewhere with racism and injustice and war, people drawing up battle lines. Where is this peace on earth? There's three different kinds of peace, and as we look into God's word, it shows us this, that the first, if you're a note taker, go ahead and write this down, is internal peace. This is emotional peace, this inner peace. And this can only come through Jesus himself. Colossians 3 verse 15 tells us this in God's word. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. That inner peace only comes from receiving Jesus. You can't meditate enough. You can't drink enough to get peace. You can't smoke and get high enough to have peace. It's not going to happen. You can't make enough money to buy peace. If that were so, the richest people in the world would be the most peaceful. And I've got a newsflash for you. They are not. Peace only comes when we receive the gift of Jesus. He is our peace. Let it rule inside your heart, Colossians said. Here's the second kind of peace, and that's external peace. Not just peace in here, but peace with you. And I find that the farther I get away from God, the crankier I get. The farther that I get away from God's peace, the more I get at odds with other people. There's a reason why we don't have peace in some of our families. There's a reason why we don't have peace inside of our office. There's a reason why we don't have peace with our coworkers. The external peace only comes from Jesus. I think we need to stop blaming others for our unhappiness. Because happiness is an inside job. You remember that? Happiness is an inside job. The Bible tells us this in Ephesians 2:14. It says, for Christ himself has brought us peace by making Jews and Gentiles one people. With his own body, he broke down the wall that separated them and kept them enemies. Christ himself is the only source of external peace. So racism and injustice and crime and war, none of this ends without the acceptance of the gift of Jesus. The last category is this: spiritual peace. Peace with God. Peace with God. Nothing robs our peace like conflict between you and God. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 18 says, all this is done by God, who through Christ changed us from enemies into his friends and gave us the task of making others his friends also. Let me tell you this morning, that's a powerful word for some of us in this place, because I'm going to put it out there that the reason why there is no peace on earth is because the church, God's children, have dropped the ball on this scripture. Each of us, the Bible says, has been given the ministry of reconciliation, of being peace in the situation. Not the fire starter, not the gasoline, but the peace. And if it's ruling inside of our hearts, then we can have peace with others. To know God is to know peace. Romans 5 verse 1 says, now that we have been put right with God through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace only comes through Jesus. Peace doesn't come from what you do. It comes from what Jesus did for you. It's a gift, and it has to be opened and used. What's the point of getting a gift if you've never opened it, if you've never used it? Romans 5 verse 10 says, we were God's enemies, but he made us his friends through the death of his son. Now that we are God's friends, how much more will we be saved by Christ's life? There's no internal peace, there's no external peace until there's peace between you and God. So when I have peace with God, then I can have peace within myself. When there's peace within myself, I can get along with you. The peace that is supposed to be upon this earth comes through me and you. When we pursue the love of God and we give his peace to every room that we become a part of. So the message of Christmas comes down to this: when you know God, you know his peace. But with no God, there is no peace. So I wonder, what would your life look like next year if you didn't carry the same old fears, if you didn't worry about what people thought, if you were not concerned with public embarrassment, but instead you took a step of faith, you got over your fears, you leapt off the high dive and said, okay, God, I'm all yours. I'm all in. What would it look like if you experienced his peace and brought his peace into the situation instead of your opinion? My hope is that you would experience his peace this morning. There's a reason why I believe when you came into church, as we began to sing, something changed in your spirit. It's because the peace of God is here, and you're supposed to carry it with you. Hey friends, this is Pastor Tim once again coming to you from High Ridge Church right here in Longview, Texas. I want to thank each of you for listening personally to this message, but I need you to understand that this is not a replacement for a good church home. So if you're ever in the Longview area, we would love to see you and meet you and hear your story and hear what God's doing in your life. So drop by one of our Sunday services. If you want to check us out online, it's perfectly okay as well, highridgelv.com. Let me just talk to you for one last moment about your walk with Christ. Maybe you're watching today and you're saying to yourself, Pastor, if I'm going to be really honest with you, I don't know where my walk with Christ is. I'm not sure if I've asked him in my heart. I'm not sure what happens at the end of my life. Or maybe you're saying, I used to walk with God, but I've gotten away from it. Friend, whether you've never asked Christ into your heart or you've walked away from him, I believe that if you could see it right now, God himself is reaching down his hand to you. This is your moment. This is your opportunity. I found myself in the exact same place many years ago, and I didn't know what to do, but I knew that something needed to change. I needed help. Somebody loved me enough to help me. It led me in a simple prayer, and I'd love to have the same wonderful opportunity to do that with you as well. So if that's you today and you've never asked Christ into your heart, or maybe you used to walk with Christ, but you walked away from him, and he knows it, you know it, then let me pray this prayer with you. You can say this out loud or in your heart right where you are. I believe that God will hear this prayer, and your life will absolutely change today. So pray with me. Prayer goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you came and died, but rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for all my sins. I ask you to come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Forgive me. Heal me. Change me. I give myself to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, friend, if you just prayed that prayer with me, I am so thrilled about the decision that you just made. Would you do me a favor? Go online and send me a message if that's okay. HighRidgeLV.com/contact and click on the tab that says send us a message. Let us know what just happened inside of your heart so we can send you some resources and help you out in your walk with Christ. That would mean a lot to us if you would. I want to say a very special thank you for your generosity, for your tithes and offerings. The way that you guys have financially supported us is just incredible. We could not do it without you. If you'd like to financially support us as well, you can go to highridgelv.com/give if you'd feel so inclined. So once again, thank you for tuning in. We love you. God bless.